up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello there, Vaughan Bennison once again with this edition of New Horizons. As promised last week, the discussion continues with Bill Jolly, and Bill continues his discussion on his international travels, and this time speaking more specifically about his experience with Braille.
One of the other things that was very interesting when we were in Bangkok 2 weeks ago was to learn more about an initiative of the Thailand Association of the Blind. And they have several organs sort of operate under their auspices, one of which is the National Fund for the Development and Promotion of Braille Usage. And they also have another leadership program, very interesting leadership program. But the Braille one was overseeing, when we were there, the National Braille Reading Competitions. And there were three competitions happening. The first one was the 22nd, so it's been going for 22 years, the 22nd National Braille Reading, I think, and Writing Competition for children and adults in Thailand. And that was an event bringing together some 200 participants and their supporters, some of the schools in Thailand. I think from 15 schools, they had people there, the participants and their cheer squads. And so that would have been a great cultural event, bringing all those people together, with the focus being Braille. And then there was the 9th National Braille Reading Marathon. And the marathon's really interesting. So that there was about 20 contestants this year, mostly teenagers, as it turned out, and they weren't as good as a group the year before, I don't think. The record is 42, 43 hours. I'm not sure of the exact amount. And what they do is they read for 2 hours and 45 minutes. Then they have a rest for 15 minutes. Then they read again for 2 hours, 45 minutes, rest for 15 minutes, etc. So the rest period is to get some refreshments, bathroom break, but no sleeping is allowed. So they're not allowed to sleep during the rest period, no quick nap or anything like that. And so how they were in three rooms, and they have to read out loud, and then there are sighted judges wandering around, and so the judges are wandering around to check that they're continuously reading. And, of course, they're blind, so they don't know if the judges are there or not, so they just have to keep reading. A fascinating event. The other event that was on, which was really interesting, was the 4th International Braille Reading Competition. And there was a writing component to it too. And there were two groups. There was the 15 to 24 age group and the 25 and over age group. And this was an international competition, so that there were about 17 participants altogether, a few from Thailand, and then others from Singapore, Indonesia, Vietnam, Philippines, and one other, Malaysia, I think it was. So from a number of countries in that ASEAN region, and the National Fund for the Promotion of Braille that I referred to before, they organised it, organised sponsorship, and each country was allowed to bring over a delegation of three contestants and a guide. So up to four from each country. Not each country had four. And the competition was in English, and they were using Unified English Braille. And so the participants had to read for 3 minutes, and they were judged on their fluency, accuracy, expression, posture, etc. They also had a contest to a writing contest, but there weren't actually prizes for this one, I don't think. It was a sort of an unofficial one where they had to write on using a slate and stylus that to write the same phrase. And the phrase of the group that I was witnessing was ladder of success. And the trick for them in that is that they will have learned to write ladder with LA and then the double D sign and then ER sign of success with the double C sign. But of course, with unified English Braille, you can't use the double D. So that probably might have caught one or two of them out that forgot that.
And certainly would have caught me out.
Yeah, probably a few others as well. They were judged on their fluency and accuracy of writing the Braille on the slate and stylus. And as I've said before, it's the sound of half a dozen people writing fast on their slate and stylus. It reminds me as a child of the sound of the rain on a tin roof. And it was a sound that I heard in Vietnam when I walked into a class of children all writing with their slate and stylus as well. And it took me back to my very early memories of the rain on a winter's night on the roof. So the competition, the reading then, as I say, they were judged on their expression accuracy and so on. They were using unified English Braille, and it was good to note that Thailand has made the switch over to unified English Braille for English language that they produce. And last year, the Ministry of Education, on behalf of the government, approved new codes for Braille in Thailand for grade 1 and grade 2 contracted Braille in Thai, and also UEB for English language Braille. It's being used in Hong Kong. UEB is now universally used throughout the Pacific Oceania region, and so the momentum is starting to gather pace following the adoption of unified English Braille just a couple of years ago there by United States and the United Kingdom, and these are the two big ones that are important in terms of the wider uptake of UEB, because they're the ones that in Asia anyway people will look to. And there's also other interest in UEB. People are looking at it as, because it has a rich symbol set for math, science, arrows, and all those graphics characters that come up in Braille. People are looking to use that as sort of their base code then for maths and science, where they want to extend their own indigenous codes to include maths and science. And I've had discussions with people in Mongolia and in China about this. So that was very good. The East Asia Pacific region of Worldwide Union stretches from way up countries like China, Mongolia, South Korea, Japan, up the north, down through Southeast Asia, those countries I mentioned before, then down to Australia, New Zealand, and the islands of the South Pacific, such as Fiji, Tonga, Samoa.
So it's a big area.
And of course, Philippines, yes. Of course, New Guinea as well. Mm. Yeah, it's a very big area. And it has 22 countries and territories involved, but probably close to half the world's population, or a third of the world's population, with those big ASEAN countries, Indonesia, Vietnam, Philippines and China, Japan, big population countries.
I'm getting a sense that that Braille is possibly more prevalent in those countries than it is in Australia just at the moment. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Braille has always been, and this has partly come from the great incidence of schools, special schools. Braille has always been the bedrock of literacy in these countries for blind people. Mm. So one, I think, is the special schools. So the teachers and the role models and teachers that could teach Braille properly and could encourage its use. And so there weren't these issues about, oh, Braille's expensive, so we'll encourage Johnny or Mary to use large print. And also, there hasn't been as much choice with alternative technology such as synthetic speech. Synthetic speech developed in English and in European languages before it was extended to, well, probably Chinese and Japanese pretty quickly, but there was some lag before synthetic speech has been implemented in the Asian countries, Thailand, Vietnam, Philippines, etc. So Braille's, in a sense, had a had more encouragement and a clearer run in terms of the competing technologies. So I think they're sort of probably the reasons why Braille has been so prominent. The other thing is that there's been a very good crop of young leaders coming through in these countries, and some of the leadership training that the World Blind Union was doing in the 1990s, I think, has really started to pay off. And an example of that is Monty and Bunton in Thailand, and he did have the advantage of some schooling in the United States, and that's where he did his university course, and he was influenced philosophically by the National Federation of the Blind, but also he then took up the cudgels as a leader in Thailand, and has really seen the growth of the Thailand Association of the Blind under his initially under his leadership. He became a senator in the Parliament of Thailand in 2008, and then when the Parliament was dissolved following the military coup in 2014, they formed a new National Reform Council, I think it was called, and Monty and Bunton was one of the people appointed to that council. So that was a tribute to his standing in the community generally, and the blind community in particular, that he was he received that appointment. And there have been others as well. So that these people, particularly where they've had the advantage of speaking English, are tuned into the current attitudes towards human rights, and they're tuned into the benefits of the new technology. Obviously, the benefits of Braille as the bedrock of literacy, but also the benefits of the new technology, and so they have good programs for audiobooks. Say, for example, in Thailand. Thailand has a very nice system to enable people to stream DAISY books just using their device of choice, and they now have access to some lower cost DAISY players. They get their players, I think, from China, and then get them tailored so that they speak in Thai. And that Chinese player, in fact, has a very nice application designed to help people in massage who are running their own business to do their accounts, to keep notes of their payments, so that it just makes it easier for them to do that side of it, as well as the hands-on massage is one thing, but you've got to run a business as well.
Indeed.
So some very interesting little applications and developments that are coming out of these countries.
Mm. Well, Bill, thanks very much for talking to us.
Thanks, Vaughan. You're most welcome. And if anyone wants to contact me, they can do that. My email address is wjolly, that's J-O-L-L-E-Y, wjolly at bigpond.com.
Bill Jolly ending this edition of New Horizons. If you'd like to donate to Blind Citizens Australia, have a look at the website. There is a myriad of ways that you can achieve that. Also, if you'd like any help with advocacy or anything like that, give them a ring. 1-800-033-660 is the telephone number. 1-800-033-660, and they'll point you in the right direction. If you prefer, you can email bca at bca.org.au. Don't forget that BCA has a mailing list that you can join. If you'd like to know more about that, get in touch with the head office, and they'll be delighted to assist. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Take care until next week, when we join again to look to new horizons.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.